Keith, the presidential race appears to be somewhat consistent at this point. Some polling out this past week from the New York Times Siena poll. Want to tell us what the numbers are looking like for the Trump-Biden race in the battleground states?
Well, they polled in six battleground states, including Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And they found Trump leading in five out of six. He was behind by 1 point in Michigan, and that was with likely voters. With all registered voters, he was ahead in all states. Now, the Great Lakes states were very close, but one of the things that's got to be bothering the Biden people is he is way behind in Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, and that's been repeated in other polls, including the Bloomberg Morning Consult polls. Not as quite a big spread, but Biden's been consistently behind by Georgia by a significant margin. This is the largest margin he's been behind in Nevada. I mean, I think they're at a point where Biden's going to have to write off Georgia, and you know, he's in a lot of trouble in Nevada and Arizona. So he might just be fighting it out in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, and that's it. And they have no hope in North Carolina. I don't see anybody even looking at that any longer. And that was the closest state that Trump won in 2020.
Adding up the electoral votes in all those states, if Trump were to win those states and carry all the states he carried in 2020, pretty much puts him over the top, doesn't it?
Well, he needs to win one of the Great Lakes states. So he needs to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, or Wisconsin if he carries Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. Nevada's kind of a hitchhiker on everything. They don't really, if you win Arizona, Georgia, plus Wisconsin, that puts you over the top. I mean, there's one scenario where if Trump can win the one congressional district in Nebraska, along with Nevada, he could have a tie, and then we go to the House of Representatives, where it's one vote, one state. So that would be, you know, Wyoming gets one vote, California gets one vote. That's pretty far-fetched, but it is possible.
Well, it has happened before in American history, and that's a whole story for another day. It's a very fascinating one, actually. But so the polling is showing former President Trump ahead in most of the battleground states, as you pointed out, all but one among likely voters. It's your thought, looking over this, and of course you pore through many, many different polls here, Keith, that all of this is underestimating the former president's support. Want to talk a bit about that?
Well, it could be. As an incumbent president, you can expect to fall back a little bit. I mean, all the undecided people know you. So if you're losing these undecideds and you're under 50%, that's a problem. Now, of course, everyone knows who Trump is. So that's a little bit canceled out. But one of the issues that Biden is facing is a couple of key constituencies, and this is found in the New York Times poll, but it's been in several other polls. Younger voters, black voters, and Hispanic voters are really the ones who are leaving this Biden Democratic coalition. Now, they're not so much moving towards Trump, although Trump is picking up a decent chunk of additional black voters and Hispanic voters, but some of them are going to the third party vote. Some of them are kind of sitting on the fence. And so Biden's got to claw all those people back just to get closer to Trump. And he's going to have his hands full doing that. So Trump is in very good shape on the polling side if he can just hang on to what he's got and pick up a few of the undecideds.
Looking at the polling on issues that are of concern to the American voter as we head into the summer months here, Keith, the issues that the president seems to like to talk about, particularly threats to democracy, climate change, the whole issue of so-called reproductive rights, they don't really poll very high on the list of concerns, do they?
No, they don't. They tend to be much lower issues. They're definitely eclipsed by inflation and immigration. The reason why Biden and the Democrats are talking about those are they're the only ones their coalition agrees on. When he starts talking about immigration and inflation, or if he were, the solutions to those problems are opposed by people in his coalition. Like if you take inflation, you've got spending going through the roof. You've got an avalanche of regulation, and you have really no increase in taxes. And like, not that I'm for increasing taxes, but if you did increase taxes, you would pull back some of the spending, which sort of pull out of the economy and reduce that inflationary effect. So when you put those three things together, you've got serious inflation. Well, he can't cut back on government spending because his coalition demands that. He can't cut back on regulation because, you know, Elizabeth Warren would go screaming to the press every 5 seconds. So he's stuck complaining about greedflation and all this fake nonsense just as a PR stunt and hoping that it will somehow go down. So he's really got no solution on inflation. Same thing with immigration. These are the top two issue concerns for people. Plus, in the YouGov polling, his approval on the number one and number two issues, these top issues, is lower than his overall approval rating. So he's got a serious foundational problem on his approve, disapprove.
We also have a couple of wild cards out there at the moment. We have former President Trump in the midst of this trial in New York. We'll have to await the outcome of that. But talk for a minute or so here, Keith, about the impact of the war between Israel and Hamas. Is this also tearing at President Biden's coalition?
I think it definitely splits things up for him. But his real problem is he won't take a stand. And the fact of the matter is, most voters, including Democrats, are opposed to Hamas. They're generally supportive of Israel. They don't like all the violence, but, you know, when you ask Americans, typically they're all for peace and ceasefires and so forth. So I don't really put a lot of credence into that. But Biden doesn't want to stand up because there's this very loud, tiny minority is causing him so much angst among sort of elitist media and so forth, and it's really hurting him. What he should be doing is being much more forceful and just sort of be willing to take the temporary hit. I think he'd show some leadership and it would help him, but they're just frozen by these different wobbling parts of a coalition. In the Democratic Party is a bunch of people who hate each other, but they just hate Trump more, and that's not a formula for success.
Keith Naughton of Silent Majority Strategies, keeping an eye on all the polling that is taking place in the presidential race. You can read Keith's work at The American Spectator and in The Hill. Keith, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, thank you.